Welcome to Ordinary People with Extraordinary Lives, a podcast dedicated to the testimonies of believers and followers of Jesus Christ. I am your host, Arlenis Buckaloo. Welcome back, friends, to another episode of Ordinary People with Extraordinary Lives. I am your host, Arlenis Buckaloo. Thank you for listening or for watching to this podcast. And if you're listening for the first time, thank you so, so much for joining us in today's episode. We would love to stay in touch with you. And the best way that we can do that is by following us on social media. You can find us pretty much everywhere. You can do that right after this episode on the link here on the description. And if you would like to continue supporting our podcast, here are some of the ways that you can continue doing that. Of course, be praying for us and for our guests as they come to share their testimony. And you are doing it right now by listening to this podcast, but also you can help by sharing with your friends and family. And if you're on social media, you can also share on your social media. All right. And now we can move on to introducing my guest for today. Today, I have the joy of interviewing Ed, who is the creator, writer, and producer of Redeemed Podcast. And he is also part of the BART Network like we are. And Redeemed Podcast produces dramatized stories inspired by biblical events. Ed is creating this to give Christians a high-quality entertainment alternative with gospel roots and to connect his listeners with the story of Jesus in a unique and creative way. So make sure that you check out his podcast and, again, find the links here on the description. All right, friends, thank you so, so much for joining me. And here is my conversation with Ed. All right, friends, and I am here with Ed. I'm going to call you Ed because that's how you introduce yourself.
Yeah, that works. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So yeah, so I'm here with Ed from Redeemed Podcast.
Yes, correct. Right?
That is correct. All right. And we are part of the BART Network. So that's what I just learned, that we're both of us are part of the Biblical and Reform Network. I've mentioned it a bunch of times on this podcast already. So I know that my listeners are very familiar with what the BART Network is. But if anyone is here and it's you, Biblical and Reform Network is just a community of different Reformed podcasts. And it's just for people, when they go to the BART Network, they know that they're going to get, you know, something solid, biblical, and reformed. So thank you, Ed, for joining me. I'm so excited to have you and just to hear your testimony and then even learn more about your own podcast and what it is about. So thank you so much. It's such a joy to have you here.
Thanks, love having me.
And you were telling me you're based in Australia, right? That's where
yes,
you are.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
In South Australia. Yeah.
If people hear the accent there. I was like, where are you from? Where are you located?
But actually, yeah. I have a weird accent because my background is Russian.
Oh.
But I grew up with this weird combination of like European and Australian. And I actually had one person ask me at one point if I was Irish. I've never had that before. That was really strange. But yes, so my accent isn't exactly Australian. It's this weird like blend of everything.
Well, I can hear the Australian accent. So I have a friend who is from Chile, but she was raised basically. Yeah, she was raised in Australia. So when she speaks English, that's, you know, that's how she sounds. But it's like a mixture too. So same. It's like a mixture. But yeah, again, it's such a joy to have you here on the podcast. Very excited to get to know you. I love hearing testimonies because, you know, all of us come from so many different backgrounds. I mean, look at you. You just told me like Russia, you know, from Russia, and then in Australia, I'm Dominican. We're like from separate parts, right? And I'm here in America. Mm-hmm. But you know, all of us believers, we always come to that point that, well, we all need Jesus Christ, right? We all know that we need a savior, and that savior is Christ himself, who gave himself for us. He died on the cross for us. And it's amazing just to get to hear, you know, what our lives were like before Christ and then after Christ. And I really, really love that. And I'm always encouraged when I'm, you know, when I interview someone on my podcast, because it's just such an amazing reminder of what the Lord has done for us. I think we are very forgetful people. And so I do like to remember, you know, look back where my life was before and where I am today, because it's a reminder that it's all because of God's grace. It's all because of his power to save sinners like us through the power of the gospel. And so I'm so looking forward to hear more about that in your life. And, you know, normally I like also to just go back as far back as you can remember, your upbringing, you know, your family, where you're raised in a believing home. So you can share as much as you like. So you can take it from there.
Yep, that sounds good. So my story is unique and I love sharing it. I think it's a good encouragement. So I was raised in a Christian home, you'd say, but Christian, I guess, by category, like just as a definition. There was a lot of, I think you interviewed Erin Coates, and she's had a similar story where her upbringing was very just centered on like God's law and the implications of breaking it. And there was no like sort of concept of grace. And that I can say was on my upbringing, where we grew up, you know, reading the Bible and having intense Bible studies. And we knew, like, my Sunday school teachers loved me because I knew all the answers. I was like the golden student who came every Sunday and I knew all the answers. But it was just like presented as like a framework for living. So when you're very, very young, that might maybe work for you. But once you start growing and becoming an adolescent and, you know, growing into an adult or a teenager, that doesn't really quite work anymore. It's not very grounding. So I was a Christian only by like kind of definition. It was my identity that I grew up with. And then so I would attend church, my parents' church, every Sunday. And then I transitioned from a church my parents were running to a church with my sisters in a local area. And that was a great change for me, because in my parents' church, which was a Russian speaking church, they were just filled with elderly people, where I think the median age was about 80. So it was very hard for a teenager to connect when, you know, the median age is 80. So we joined the local church in our area where there were younger people. And that's when I actually started making like friends with other Christians. But my Christianity was just my identity. So I would go there, listen to the sermon, like sit there with my friends, but it just never really impacted me and my heart. And then slowly I started sort of slipping away into like worldly living. And mind you, this is still while going to church. And I was still diligently going to church every week. And then like mindlessly slip into worldly living. And then I ended up joining the church band. So I was like on stage, playing in front of the whole congregation, leading, like helping them worship, but wasn't living a Christian life. And like precipitously, I grow more and more worldly in my actions and in my thoughts. And church just became a habit for me, where it's just some place I go to on a Sunday, you know, and my friends are there, and that's why I'm going there. So at this point, I'm about, how old was I? So I'd say about like early 20s, where I'm, you know, going to church and just out of habit. And I
is this all in Australia this is happening, or was it somewhere else?
This is Australia. So I was born in Australia.
Okay.
So I'm going to church and I'm joining the church band. And then I ended up becoming the youth leader, because in some churches, that's just a natural progression. When you're there for long enough and you're young, you then become a youth leader. It's just, you just have to, because otherwise, you know, like you're not progressing. So I became a youth group leader when I wasn't following, you know, the Bible. I was living a Christian life. Like, to my church, they started noticing evidence that I wasn't exactly aligned with the gospel of Christ. But and they would kind of approach me sometimes to challenge me, but only very gently. And I just continued living that life, that like bifurcated life, where I would like do whatever I wanted on the weekend. It just came to church on a Sunday, and it just kept getting really, really bad. Where I would chase girls and then come to church on a Sunday, and people were praying for me, and people were praying for me. I have four sisters and no brothers, so they were praying for me. And my friends at church are praying for me, but I was like considered a lost cause. And it's just strange, like just to focus on this point where I'm a youth group leader. So you have other parents entrusting their kids to me to teach. And I'm like leading the worship, but I'm not Christian. Like I can say like very confidently that at that point I wasn't a Christian, because like a Christian is someone whose fruit you can recognize. A Christian is someone who follows Christ and is aligned with Christ, even when no one's looking. Mm-hmm. But I was definitely just not a Christian. I would laugh at the Bible. I would sit at church in the back and distract my friends and laugh with them while the sermon is happening. I reached a point where I just left church because I moved out of home. I decided to live in like Bondi. I think everyone knows what Bondi is. Like, it's a well-known famous beach in Australia. So I was living in that area, which is like a very like kind of like party centric area. I wasn't doing anything too outrageous. Like, I wasn't taking drugs. I wasn't doing anything quite so bad, but I was just very comfortable living a life like outside of Christ. I just didn't feel like I needed him. He was I guess if I was filling out a census and I had to choose my religion, I would choose, you know, Christian, because I still kind of identified as Christian, but I wasn't living a Christian life. And that's how I continued for many years. I would just live my own life, my own little quiet life, not go to church, you know, away from Christ. Then 2013 happened, and that's the year that everything changed. So I was in my apartment. I was lying down. I think it was a particularly hot day. In Australia, it gets very hot. And I was lying down on the ground because I was just relaxing, just enjoying my quiet time of just no noise in the house. And in an instant, I was just born again. It's very strange. Like, in an instant, I just realized that Jesus is real. Jesus died for me, rose again, and I need him. And I remember it was a very strange sensation. I just sat up and I just didn't know how to process that. And then the first thing I did was just start rummaging through my room looking for a Bible, because I had a Bible somewhere that I packed when I moved. And I found it and I started reading it. And I was reading it. I was reading it like, it felt like it was the first time I was reading the Bible. And I was reading the words of Christ and I just could not stop. I was reading. And I just didn't know what was happening. I just spent hours just reading. Like, the next day I would keep reading. And it just seriously, it's like in the Bible, it talks about the scales falling from your eyes. And that's what it felt like happened with me. And my experience, like, on the floor is what Jesus speaks about in John 3. And it talks about born of the Spirit, how people are born of water and then again of the Spirit. And you can't predict where it's going to go, who's going to happen to. It happened in an instant, you know, to me when I was in my room. And yeah, so I'm reading my Bible, like a couple of days pass. This is still like very new to me. I'm trying to process what's happening. Or the ultimate truth that I understand is that I desperately need Jesus. That's the one thing that I have complete clarity about in my mind. But everything else just seems like it feels like I was born into a new world. So I definitely did not want to do anything I would want to do before. All I wanted to do was just pursue Christ and know him more and follow him. So I realized that, like, I need to tell everyone about this because this is a big deal. So I, the church that my sisters were going to and I were going to, I was still receiving emails from them because I was subscribed to their newsletter. But I never checked their emails. I just kept getting emails from them. And then I got an email, I think it was like that evening, like I think the next day, saying that there'll be baptisms this coming Sunday at that church. And it's a big church. And I know how the pastor operates when he does baptisms. What he does is he baptizes the people that have said they will get baptized, that everyone's prepared for. And then at the very end, he asks, you know, the whole congregation, hey, like the water's here. If is anyone here want to get baptized? Because the invitation is open to everyone. And I realized that, okay, when he's going to say that, I'm going to say me and I'm going to get baptized. So no one really knew my plan. This was my plan that I kept to myself. So I traveled to church that Sunday and everyone was surprised to see me because I hadn't been in a while. And I was holding in this plan and I was really excited about getting baptized. And I had to wait for the entire service to finish. And it was the longest service ever because I just wanted to get baptized. And then it reached that point where the pastor baptized the last person, then he turns to the congregation and says, you know, if who wants to get baptized, the water's here. And I yelled out, me. And then everyone turned and looked at me and laughed, thinking I was joking. But I was like, I'm serious. I want to get baptized. So then I jumped in with all my clothes and he baptized me. That's how I told like my friends and that I had completely changed. And I told my sisters, that's how they found out. So it was a very like emotional moment for everyone because people were praying for me for a long time, but I didn't expect anything to come from it. Like they didn't expect my life to turn around so dramatically. And so I got out and I was started talking to everyone about Jesus and telling everyone my story. And I did notice some people that didn't quite like the fact that I was so obsessed with Jesus, so they kind of stepped away. It was a bit too much for them, mm-hmm. which is strange in a church setting. So those friends of mine I sort of kind of like lost contact with. One of my best friends who was going to the church at the time, he also was quite surprised at what happened to me. And we kept talking. We kept talking after the church finished. I then went back to Bondi and we kept in touch. And he was struggling through some stuff and going through a hard time. Mm-hmm. And so I was maintaining contact, reading the Bible with him and trying to encourage him to, also follow Christ. And to me, he seemed like a lost cause as well. He was like what I seemed like to others because he was just very, very lost. He didn't want to read the Bible. I was reading, I think, Isaiah with him when Isaiah sees heaven. And the cherubim that chapter, I think it's chapter 6 or I forget which chapter, but I was very like blown away when I was reading that, and he was kind of like indifferent, and I was thinking, you know, like I was praying so much, praying for God to change his heart. And then the weekend after I got baptized, he messages me saying, "Hey, could you come, you know, to my area? I just want to hang out and talk." So I came to my area again. We went to a cafe at night. I went into the car and I shared Jesus with him again. And he ended up repenting and in the car that night. So that was like a week after I did. And then he repented. And then this was 10 years ago. And so since then, like there's been so much fruit in our lives. Like he's always preaching the gospel. Always at his workplace, his colleagues, customers at work, tells about Jesus. It's just always pours out of him, and I can see so much fruit from my life since I repented in 2013. So this wasn't an emotional kind of like response because we would have fizzled out by then. Since then, but it's been just like this ongoing growth and pursuit of Christ and. it's just amazing to know that like the greatest, most incomprehensible fact in this universe is that Jesus saves sinners. Like, that's something that's like, it's a truth we just cannot comprehend mentally. The fact that, yeah, you have sinners that hate him and want nothing to do with him, they gnash their teeth at him, but yet he saves them. And that's just, it's so incredible. And it's so encouraging to know that, like it says in John chapter 3, you don't know, you know, the wind blows where it wishes, you don't know where it's going to go. And people repent. And it's the Lord's doing. It's not something that we can enforce on someone. But when they repent, it's just, it's sincere, it's legitimate, and got to bring it to completion. And that's my story.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, I've had other people so that they were raised in a believing home, and it can happen very often. What you just, it's like you self-deceived yourself, believing that, you know, I'm saved just because, you know, I go to the church and I do all these things and I just know all the right answers to all the questions that they ask. But we really have to examine our hearts and ask ourselves, am I just deceiving myself into think, you know, into believing that I am a true follower of Christ? And something that you mentioned that is really important is that we need to be producing like good fruit. That's how people will see that we are truly saved by our fruit, right? Because there is a change. And you were explaining how that life before Christ was for you. I mean, it was like a complete lie. You were acting like a Christian, but you were not, you know, you had not truly repented. You had not truly made, you know, Jesus was not your Lord. He was not Lord over over your life, right? Because look at what happened. You even left the church. You didn't want anything to do with the church. There is no love for the word of God or for Christ himself. But then when you're saved, then like you said, it's like you can't even explain. It's just a change that we clearly have no power to make that change happen. That true love for the word of God, it's all you want, it's all you need, and you can't even imagine your life without Christ. You know, it's like Christ becomes everything. Our conversations becomes about Christ. You know, it's like I want to be able to share with you the best thing in my life, and that is Jesus Christ. That's like when you truly see someone who has been saved because of that love for Christ and his word. So once that, you know, all this happens, and like even with your friend and all that, did you go back to the church and serve there? What happens with your church life? Are you getting involved? I mean, before you left, Christ saves you, and then what is your life and ministry, right? Because we need the church also, so we need the fellowship and to worship our Lord with our brothers and sisters in Christ.
So I started going to that church that my sisters were going to, the one I got baptized in. And the problem was that it was about 2 hours from where I was living. So I had to, it's 2 hours travel one way. So I had to travel kind of like two. So, and I would do that. I would travel 2 hours to get to that church and then travel back 2 hours to Bondi where I was living. And, but I realized that, you know, I need a church near where I was living. And in Bondi at the time, I don't know what it's like now, but there were very few. I couldn't find a church there. I just couldn't. There was one, it was a funny story. There's one church that was a short walk away that I decided to visit one day because I was just desperate to go to church. And I was looking online and I saw a church and I was like, this is just like a short walk away. So I'll try this church. And I was so excited it was happening like today. I went to that church. I sat and listened to the service. And I was like, thinking to myself, he's been talking the preacher for like 15 minutes and he said nothing. Like he's just talking about his stories and he's about like life events and he's not Like reading the Bible, and I was thinking, like, this is wrong. This is must. There's something wrong with this church. I could just sense it because there's no gospel. And then it was confirmed later on that something was wrong with it when the pastor told everyone to get up and do like a fire. What's it called? Like a fire run.
Okay.
So I was just a new Christian. I was desperate to get a church. I was like willing to, you know, do anything to get involved. So what the pastor had everyone do was run around the church, and then there were people on the side like blowing like the Holy Spirit or something, and then everyone running by. And I remember I was running with the church, and then after the third lap, I was thinking to myself, this is weird, like I shouldn't be doing this, like this is doesn't seem like it's very biblical. And I was still a new Christian. I was like, I can feel like you didn't have to have studied the Bible for a long time to realize that running around, you know, the church is not a normal thing. So I didn't go back to that church. That was the first and last time I visited. But I was still very desperate for a church. I just didn't. It's funny how I couldn't, like, for me, not going to a church wasn't an option. I just needed a church. And so I when I was walking around one day, I saw that there was another church offering Bible studies. And I was thinking, yes, this is at least something, because I really need something. So I would visit. I visited the office and I asked them when the Bible studies were starting and if they had begun. And I was told that this was just an expression of interest. They want to start a Bible study. When they have enough people, they'll start. And I was disappointed, so I left. And then the week later, I came back and I was like, hey, do you have enough people yet? Because I want to join a Bible study. And they were like, no, still not enough. Anyway, I kept coming back like every week or every few days. And then one of the pastors noticed me, because he always saw me come like basically every day. And he was like, you know what? Like, I'll just do Bible studies with you one-on-one. And that was the best thing ever for me at the time. So I would come every Tuesday to that church and we would have like one-on-one Bible study. And it was incredible. He's such a nice guy. He's moved now to Colorado, but he was just sent by God for me during that period of my life, and he helped me like a lot. I can't express how much he helped me. So it was just so nice that he from his office he noticed me through the window coming every day, and he stood up and, you know, devoted his time to come and minister and encourage someone, a stranger. That to me was very encouraging that he was willing to do that. And so that was happening for a while, where I would see him every Tuesday, and then that Bible study kind of grew.
Mm.
And then beyond that, ended up just randomly starting my own Bible study as well in Bondi with a few people that wanted to read the word. So that just happened spontaneously, where I started it and a few people got together, a few people from different walks of life, which was very encouraging. But I eventually ended up finding a proper church in the city area where I was going to, with no strange fire runs or anything, just the gospel. So yeah. That was a lot closer. I didn't have to travel 2 hours, maybe about half an hour to get to this church, but that was a good church.
And are you still there in that church, or did you end up, or are you in a different church now?
Yes, I that was all in Sydney, in Sydney, Australia. So now I moved to a different state. I've moved to South Australia because this is where my wife lives. So I've moved here to marry her, and I've always wanted to live in this area as well. So it was a good combination, and so we now go to a church, to a local church in Adelaide.
Okay, perfect. And so how do you start your podcast, Redeemed Podcast? Why do you start it, and what is a podcast about?
Yep. So Redeemed, I I create dramatized stories inspired by biblical events. So I work with voice actors from around the world. I write a script and I direct them, and then they perform my script. And these episodes are like backstories to biblical events, where the idea is to educate listeners on the context, because that's very important, and the culture at the time. And it also pulls together my love for storytelling, and especially audio drama, because I used to listen to, when I was a kid, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And whenever I listened to it during the day and finished, it felt like I had a dream. It was a very vivid memory in my mind. So I've always wanted to work in audio production. So I created a reading podcast to meet that desire of mine, and also to spread the gospel in a creative way. But more than that, I wanted to spread the gospel message, or messages of the gospel, through a reformed lens. Mm-hmm. Because usually when you come across Christian entertainment that's of good quality, there's always this internal tension that happens where you like it, but you expect something really, really like not biblical to sprout, you know, from the surface, through the surface. And so I want to create something that's a very high quality, but also of a very great substance theologically. So that's why I've created a Redeem podcast.
And how long have you been doing this?
So I've been doing this since 2020. I've made about 4 episodes. So the first episode I wrote when I was sick with what I thought was COVID, but it was just the flu. The flu. And so the first episode is about when Christ heals the leper, and which leprosy in the Bible represents sin. So it's a very powerful testimony to the healing and work of Christ internally. And so that was in 2020. And then my latest episode is about the birth of Christ. And something I do differently to other Christian entertainment is that, based on the Gospels, is that I never add to the words of Christ. So everything it says in Scripture is exactly what it says in the episodes that include that passage. So I think it's in episode 1 with the leper. You hear Christ talking to the leper, and everything is word for word from the ESV, as Christ says, because I don't want to create a profile or a character that's not aligned with the Gospels.
Okay. And have you had any episodes, because I mean, clearly you're making this straight from the Bible. Have you had any episodes that were really challenging to make?
Or, well, they're all particularly challenging, because I don't just want to recreate the story. I like to weave in different sort of elements of the Bible. So in episode 1, called Ezra the Leper, if you listen very, very carefully, you can hear the reformed sort of aspects of it come to life, especially at the end, which is a real it pulls at your heartstrings. The last I don't want to give it away, but the last line of the first episode. But also, what was particularly challenging for me was the episode called Escape to Egypt. So it's about Mary and Joseph's dramatic escape to Egypt. So I wanted to make this an edge of your seat thriller. So from the beginning to the end, there's this dramatic chase where you got these soldiers chasing Mary and Joseph and all the way to Egypt. And the challenge in that one was to make Jesus as a baby seem like a real baby. Because I think when we read the Bible, we forget that Christ was, as it says in the Bible, he stepped down from heaven and didn't see that as a reason to keep himself from giving himself for us. He put on human flesh and humbled himself to the point of a servant, the point of death on the cross. And we forget that means that he put on flesh and lived in this sinful world. And he was a baby. Like, he needed to be changed. He did cry. He needed to be comforted by Mary. And the challenge for me was to kind of represent him as an actual, like, real baby, which was interesting and a nice reminder. because it's also interesting that in the Gospels accounts, it represents, you know, life in general and Christ especially as a human. Like, there's no like very sensationalized supernatural events. It's just these very kind of like reserved and tamed accounts of Christ. Whereas if you read the Gnostic Gospels, like the Gospel of Thomas and the Gospel of, I think, Mary or Barnabas, one of them or a few of them recount or claim to recount Christ in his youth. And in those records, you have what you would expect from a fabricated story about God in the flesh interacting with humanity. You have an example, I think it's in the Gospel of Mary, where Jesus is a child and he's pushed over by some kids, and then he gets up and like turns them into doves or some, and then they'll fly away to punish them. And those are the kind of accounts you would expect from a fabricated story about God becoming flesh. What you wouldn't expect is what you get in the Gospels, which is Christ being born in the flesh as a child and then having to run to Egypt with his parents because Herod is killing all the babies in order to eradicate him. That's not something that you would expect from a fabricated story. It's very like fascinating that these accounts are the way that they are, and that just to me verifies that they are absolutely true.
Yeah. And so when did you join the Bard Network?
So I joined in, I think it was 2021.
Okay. All right. So it's been, been a while.
So the way I joined is I wanted to record a commercial for Redeemed, and I wanted a specific voice. And my wife was like, you know, you should reach out to Dwayne. He's got a really great voice. So I reached out to Dwayne and I was like, hey man, like I really want to make this episode. And you have the perfect voice. I don't know if you do voice acting, but would you be willing to do this for me? And he was like, yeah, I'll give it a go. And he made one of my first ads. And that's how we started talking. And I joined the Bard Network.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, Dwayne is one of those brother that he is like all for always helping and, you know, collaborating with other people. So I really love that about him. He's always on the go. Mm. He's always doing something.
Yeah, everyone knows him as well. Like when I speak to people, they're like, yeah, I know Dwayne.
Yeah. Well, he's a very friendly person too. So very thankful for that brother and just, you know, putting this whole Bard Network together because of him. Also, I got to meet a lot of the people obviously there on the podcast, and I've had the opportunity to finally meet most of them in person at the G3 conference. So a lot of the people from the Bard Network, they go whenever they have the conference. So it's really neat. But tell people how they can find your podcast, you know, how they can be supporting your podcast and the work that you're doing. Yeah.
So if you go to my website, redeemedpodcast.org, there are links there to the podcast. And if you want to support it, I have a crowdfunding campaign there running, raising funds for the next episode. And once that's successful, then I'll launch the next exciting episode.
And just very curious, so you said that you're working with voice actors from all over, I guess, from different parts of the world, right?
Yeah.
So do you have to hire these people, or are they collaborating with you?
So I hire them. So I hire the actors and I buy the music and I buy the sound effects. So it's a very like costly production. Mm. I have actually some videos on my Instagram of me directing the actors. So everything, what's interesting is it's done remotely. So it's me in Adelaide directing like an actor in the UK, telling them, okay, what I do is I record how I think they should say it, and then they do a much better job. But I have a voice actress in Germany and another one in like London. I really like the UK accent. I think it works well for podcasts. But yeah, these people are like such beautiful images of Christ. They are so talented, and they just really bring this production to life.
Yeah, well, if so, again, if people want to, and I'll make sure that the links are here in the description also for your website and where they can find you. It anything like this, but it costs money to be able to make it. Yeah. So and just for people to make sure that they also check it out and all of that. But now let's move on to my signature questions. So what are some of your favorite books or books that have been helpful for you?
Oh, there've been so many. So there's this book, James White, The Forgotten Trinity. I think that's a fantastic book, because the Trinity is something that's we just don't appreciate it as much as we should. So that book has been great. This is great if you want to study the canon, so how the Bible is put together. Kruger is the surname. So there's Daniel Wallace. He's like a he's got his own organization where he's trying to publicize all of the manuscripts that are found through discovery. He's publishing them on a website that you can access. But there's also another person in the same kind of like category called Kruger is his surname. He's got a book called The Forgotten Canon, or it's a book about the canon, how it was put together. And he actually wrote this book as a response to Bart Ehrman. He was a student of Bart Ehrman, who's a prominent, outspoken person who doesn't like the Bible and wants to disprove it. So Kruger was his student, and Kruger was like, this is ridiculous, I need to write some resources. And he wrote like two fantastic resources. And the third book that I think is really helpful is there's this book called It's Good to Be a Man, which is about biblical manhood. And it just talks about the importance of men really embracing the office of fatherhood and biblical masculinity, and how that impacts the family and then greater society. So those three books are very, very special to me.
Awesome. And what are three things that bring you joy?
Three things. Number one is talking about Christ. Number two is coming together with like friends that they're just naturally discussing Christ and the Bible. Like I really, really love that. And the third is hearing testimonies. I think it's just, I watched a recent testimony of a former Hezbollah terrorist who came to Christ in jail. And it's just incredible, that testimony. And it just really reminds you of the power of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Same over here. That's why I really enjoy, and I'm so grateful that I can get to do this podcast again, because all of our testimonies are pointing to Jesus Christ, right? And
yeah,
my last question is in that regard. Why do we all need Jesus Christ?
We all need Jesus Christ because we're inherently fallen. We have this disease within us called sin that we cannot escape. There's a debt that we owe for it, and we can never repay it. And Christ is the only one that's paid that debt by nailing it to the cross. And now, because of his resurrection, now we have life in him. If we follow him and believe, and that solves the problem of sin that nothing else can solve. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no one else that can come to the Father but through him.
Amen. Well, thank you, Ed, so, so much for joining me on the podcast. And again, friends, if you want to find out more about his podcast and where you can find him, just make sure that you check out the links here in the description. But before we go, Ed, will you mind just closing us in prayer?
Sure. Thank you, God, that we live in an age where we can connect with believers from across the globe and through a simple device. And thank you, God, that encourage us across the sea and across country borders. And I pray, God, that those that know you are encouraged by this conversation and encouraged to love you more and to keep praying for their friends if it seemed just so lost. And I pray those that are listening and having Christ made a commitment to follow you, I pray that their heart of stone is turned to flesh and they just fall on their knees and start worshiping you and repenting from their sin and living a life that honors you. Amen.
Amen. Hey friend, thank you so much for watching or listening to this episode. I hope that you were encouraged by the reminder of the grace and mercy that we have received from our Heavenly Father. My prayer is that you can use this podcast as a way to share the gospel with your unbeliever friend or family, or to even encourage a brother and sister in the faith. So make sure to subscribe to this channel or from wherever you're listening from to be notified whenever we release a new episode. Also, like this video and share on your social media if you are on social media. And don't forget that as far as the east is from the west, so our Heavenly Father has removed our transgressions from us. So thank our Heavenly Father for his faithfulness and his love for us. Thank you, friend, and I will see you next time.